Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Mark Roberts, owner of Affinity Asset Management. I want to thank everybody again for taking time out of your day here today to listen to me update you on all kinds of things coronavirus and stock market related. I know this isn't exactly the funnest topics to have, but I certainly want to say thank you for taking that time to listen to this. We definitely feel that clients who are educated have certainly less stress and anxiety, and that's what we're trying to achieve here with these emails, these teleconferences. Also, thank you for everybody who dialed in last week for our Wednesday teleconference last week. Continue every week that we do these, we continue to get more and more numbers. So it's a little overwhelming, a little exciting. So just thank you very much for all that as well. I want to start off by saying that I want to apologize for a couple of things here. After placing a lot of trades in everybody's accounts like 4 weeks ago to get out of stocks, those of you who don't get your statements through email and you get them through paper mail, your mailbox probably blew up with all kinds of confirmation statements, prospectuses, proxy votings, all kinds of stuff. So we just want to apologize for that. You got multiple accounts, you're going to get multiple sets of the exact same thing. That's a law thing. We can't control that. But if you want to switch to email statements at any time, certainly let us know. But hopefully we're not going to be doing it that often that we're going to blow up your mailbox that regularly. And secondly, I also want to apologize for all of our clients out there who received these trusted contact forms that was received by our broker or sent by our broker dealer, Client One Securities, C1S. New law put in place by FINRA requiring every broker-dealer out there to try to make contact with folks like yourself. You are not required to send in that form, but it is required by law that the broker-dealer like Client One has to at least attempt to send this to you so you can fill it out and send it back. And this is basically giving us at Affinity Asset Management, as well as Client One, a name and phone number and the relationship that you'd have to another person that if we can't get a hold of you, who can we contact to track you down? So in other words, you're not returning a phone call, an email, a text, and it's been several days, and this isn't like you to not return messages like that. You're giving us authorization by this form to contact somebody else, you know, usually a parent, a child, or somebody who knows your whereabouts. So we can just call them up and say, hey, we're just trying to track them down. Do you know where we can find them? That person, that trusted person, does not have any access to your accounts or any information. It's just simply who would possibly know your whereabouts. So I apologize that Client One sent that to you because we felt that was not handled correctly, and if we would have had some input on it, we would have helped them do it a different way. But basically, every client got it, and every client got it for every single account. And we have clients that have 5, 6, 7, 8 accounts, and they're getting 5, 6, 7, 8 of these forms. And it really just needs to be one per person or maybe one per household is really all that it needs to be. You don't have to fill those out for every account. You just need one and send it back. Secondly, there's no names. Your name is not on that form. Your account numbers are not on that form. So we kind of felt that this looked a little like a scam. And in times like this, with all this coronavirus and news about the stimulus package and the potential scams that are out there, to some of our clients, when they saw this, they wondered if this was a legit letter from Client One or not. So we just want to apologize if that caused confusions. We know our phones have been blowing up here on our end. Because you're calling and asking questions. So we ask that you just fill it out, put someone's name and phone number in there that would know your whereabouts typically, tell us who you know how you're related to them, and then just mail that back. You're also welcome to email it to us, and we'll send it in for you to Client One. So another way to do that. So just want to apologize for the confusion that caused. All right, so having said that, getting into this, I have lots of data here to share with you guys, and want you to know that this data that we share comes directly from analysts and economists from very large major investment companies like BlackRock or T. Rowe Price or PIMCO, JP Morgan, Bank of America, places like that. None of our data that we use here in the office or that I share in these emails or these teleconferences comes from the TV news. So I know that's how you guys get your news is watching TV. We get our news directly from analysts and economists. Definitely much more reliable and definitely much more accurate, and there's no sales pitch basically to it. There's not someone out there trying to make a name for themselves on TV when we get our information directly from the analysts and economists. So put some of that there into perspective. Just want to kind of share with you where we get our information from. So let me first update you with some performance numbers. Last week, the stock market was negative 2.7%. And since the stock market high on February 19th, the stock market is negative 22.81. Now that's an improvement because the market was down, I think at the highest point, a negative 35%. So definitely an improvement. Because we're sitting all in bonds right now for the most part for everybody, I want to kind of share some performance numbers on how the bond funds are doing. The first week that we got into bonds, which would be that Thursday, so that following week, the week of March 16th, bonds dropped 4.51%. Now, to put that into perspective, stocks and bonds do not work together. They do not work opposite of each other. They're two completely different things. The stock market can go down, the bond market's just fine, vice versa, that sort of stuff. But that one particular week, the week of March 16th, was the single one biggest drop that the stock market has ever had. And in, let's say, like a rally of that, or not, I shouldn't say rally, but maybe just in momentum of that, people were cashing out of bonds, cashing out of everything just to go to cash because they didn't know what to expect. And by just sheer mass of people out there selling out of bonds caused the bond market to go down. So we timed getting out of the stock market really good. And of course, if we had a crystal ball, we would have loved to have gotten out of, you know, a couple weeks before that. But we did miss a big chunk of that drop by getting out of the stock market when we did. Now, looking back, hindsight's 20/20, we know exactly where the height of the market was. And if we could have gotten out of the stock market on February 19th, we would have. But obviously, we don't have that crystal ball any more than you guys do. Same thing with the bond market. We got into bonds that Thursday, that Friday, that Monday following March 12th. And that week after that, the bond market dropped 4.5%. So since then, the market dropped on bonds, but is now starting to rally. We're now finally starting to see the bonds do what we expected it to do. And had we had that crystal ball in the bond market as well, we would have delayed getting into bonds for like 1 week. So in other words, if we would have gotten out of stocks the way that we did and gone to cash and sat in cash for 1 week and then went to bonds 1 week later, we would have been better off. But again, no crystal ball for that. Again, we're thinking that this is going to be somewhere between a 6 to 12 month cycle that we're going to be in for all of this. So we're looking at what's going to make us some money that's greater than cash without being in the stock market side of things, and that's where the bonds are. So the bond market dropped 4.5% that week. The next week it was up over 2%. The next week it was up 0.5%. The next week it was up 0.25%. Overall, in that 3 week span of time, the bond market's negative 1.6. So it has rallied since then. It just had that one bad week and it's all starting to recover. And I think we'll continue to see more of that. So that's obviously proving what we wanted to do to be correct. Just the timing on that, just we would have loved to have done it a week later is all I'm saying. So let's talk a little bit about P.E. ratios. The P.E. ratios before the coronavirus for the stock market, the S&P 500, was about 19.47. Currently, P.E. ratios for the S&P 500 is 15.43. The 25-year average, the last 25 years, the average of the P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 is 16.3. I'm referencing this because P.E. ratio is a good measure to how cheap or expensive stocks are. So in other words, if you have a low P.E. ratio, stocks are going to be cheaper. You won't pay as much, but then you won't make as much for that stock. If the P.E. ratio is higher, you're going to pay more for that stock, but you expect to also make more. So towards the end, you know, the last several years of this 11-year bull market that we were in, P.E. ratios got above, you know, an average number and went, you know, from what is the average of, you know, roughly 15.5 to over 19. And so now because of the drastic drop here so quickly, P.E. ratios are now down, you know, under 16 where it's at now. So just wanted to kind of give you some reference there. Here's some tidbits. Our office is still remaining open, fully staffed. We are what's called an essential office to be working. Although we're not taking any office appointments, I know I've said this before, I'm kind of being a little bit redundant. So there's a little bit of repeat. There's a whole lot of new stuff here. But just want to let you know that we're not taking any office appointments. We want you guys to be safe. We want to be safe. All of our appointments are on the phone or web-based meetings like Zoom.com or something like that. In fact, our building's even in lockdown. The landlord of all these buildings in this office park that we're in has the buildings in lockdown mode. We can get in and out, but you have to have a passcode to get in. Normally, the building is unlocked during business hours, but right now, they have it locked. If you need to come to the office, that is fine. We're still here Monday through Thursday like we normally are from 7 to 5:30. But we just tell you that when you come, you're just going to need to sit in the parking lot, call us from your cell phone, tell us that you're here. We'll meet you downstairs in the front of the building, hand you a folder, hand you whatever it is that you need. If you need to sign some documents, you'll probably just go right back out to your car, sign your documents, and then bring it back to us. That way you're not coming into the building. We're gonna try to keep our 6 feet from you, you know, that mentality. So we're just trying to keep everybody safe. Some upcoming news, myself and an incredibly brilliant estate planning attorney here in town named Glenn Stockton, we're gonna be hosting a series of Zoom.com kind of webinars. And we have it tentatively called Community Cafe, where it's probably gonna be anywhere from 30 minutes to maybe 45 minutes. And it's just something that we're gonna do like once a week or once every other week. And we're gonna talk to each other in a conversational type format where we're just gonna talk about estate planning topics, retirement, taxes, the market conditions, coronavirus, talk about hip release. You know, a good story on that is we probably all heard things on TV where, you know, somebody's ill, they have the coronavirus in the hospital, and they're being quarantined away from everybody else. Family can't come into the hospital, can't come in at all and see them. And there are people who are dying and who can't spend their final days, their final weeks with their loved ones because of being contained off. And the only contact that you would have is through, you know, your cell phone or maybe FaceTime on your cell phone. And so at that point, what happens with your medical records and getting things to and from your family to the doctors and this kind of stuff? So we'll be talking about things like, you know, having a HIPAA release and those kind of things with your documents. Need to have this stuff in advance, because once something happens to one of us and we're in that condition or in that situation, it's not going to be easy to be dealt with afterwards. It's going to be very difficult. Also want to announce that next week I'm going to also be hosting a workshop online. It's going to be next Tuesday, April 14th at noon, also with the same attorney, Glenn Stockton, and this topic is going to be strictly on estate planning. Wills, trust, what's the difference between a will and a trust? What's the pros and cons? What's the difference in prices? How much assets do you need to have for these things? What is your family wishes and goals? All these kind of things will go into helping you determine what kind of an estate plan is appropriate for you. So we're going to be having a web-based training session on this next Tuesday, the 14th at noon. So if you'd like more information on that, just email us. I've been asked quite a few times, how much longer do I plan to continue sending out these weekly emails and these weekly teleconferences? As you know, we don't normally do this. We do regularly scheduled reviews. Some of you want it one time a year, some of you want it two times a year, some people want to be contacted three times a year, and some people want to be contacted four times a year. We always do our reviews based on what your preference is there. But right now, in these super unusual times, very crazy, different things that we're all going through in our personal lives as well as our financial lives, we just thought it would be best to continue having these emails and these teleconferences. So we don't have an end date in mind. Maybe once we peaked in the corona numbers and it starts to flatten out and the government says everybody can now stop being in lockdown mode and kind of go back into society, kind of go back to work and start your lives all over again kind of thing. Once that happens, then we might have less of these, or we won't have it once a week. Maybe we'll have it once every other week. But right now, we don't necessarily have an end date in mind. And also to share with you, just to remind you that this Friday is Good Friday, so the bond market will be closed at 1 o'clock on Thursday, and then all of Friday, and then the stock market will be closed all day Friday. All right, so let me update you on some facts. By the way, I don't know if you can imagine, so I'm sitting at my desk here with my headset on, so I'm talking to you guys, and I got four sheets of paper out in front of me with all my notes on it, highlights, underlines. I don't want to read all this stuff word for word, but it's just need to catch my eye so I can try to talk on a point, because I don't want to be on a teleconference with you guys reading a script. It's just obviously not my style. So I got lots of paper here in front of me. I want to go through the next set here is what I call the facts. We get lots of reports. Guys, we get tons and tons of reports. And like this time that we're in right now, we're getting so many reports daily, multiples daily. From podcasts, webinars, emails, teleconferences. Half the time it seems my operations group is at their desk and they're not on their phone, but they're on their cell phone with earbuds in their ears listening to a teleconference with an economist or an analyst speaking while they're trying to get other work done. Just constantly listening to the newest and latest data. So our information comes from this place. I think we all just have to realize that the stuff we hear on TV, we gotta take some of that with a grain of salt. Well, you know, we just kind of find that the people that come on TV, it's like they want to make a name for themselves, and they all are some kind of an expert on something. And sometimes we hear it this way, and sometimes we hear it that way, and it's like, well, there's not a lot of consistency sometimes. So just take a little bit of the TV stuff with a grain of salt is what I just try to say. All right, so this week and projected supposedly the next 2 weeks are going to be when the death toll numbers for the coronavirus is going to start taking some jumps. VIX. If you don't know what VIX is, V-I-X, VIX is the measure of volatility. And that measures how much the stock market's kind of spiking up and down. And since the new stimulus package went into place called CARES, the $2.2 trillion stimulus package, the VIX has definitely decreased down. We're seeing less and less 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 point swings on a daily basis. So the higher that market swings, the higher the VIX, the higher the volatility. And we're seeing days that start off good and finish great. We see days that start off bad, finish terrible. We've seen days that start off good but finish bad, and vice versa, days that start off bad that finish good. So it just sometimes depends on what the news is later in the day that kind of drives the markets. But right now, the VIX is a little bit lower. I'm telling you this because once those death numbers start to increase, and now projected numbers become reality, because when your projected numbers, the people who have contacted the COVID-19 coronavirus here, there's still hope that you're going to recover. And there is a lot of recoveries going on out there, but there's hope for that. So once contacted numbers like that become, or contracted numbers come to actual reality of death, now we're going to start to probably see a spike in the VIX. And that means we're probably going to go back to some more days of the 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 point swings in the market. We don't want to see that, but that's what I'm just trying to tell you to possibly expect that. President Trump just tweeted out that if he has to go back to Congress, he will, to ask for more money for small businesses, for the amount of money that's out there in the stimulus package to help small businesses kind of keep America going, keep people employed, keep benefits and that kind of stuff going. So he says he's not afraid to go back to Congress and increase that $2.2 trillion stimulus package. All right, so here's an interesting number here. Total domestic cases for the coronavirus. Right now there is 399,000 people diagnosed with coronavirus, and there's 10,700 deaths. Recovered, 22,500 have recovered. So that's awesome. More have recovered than have died. However, this was put together, I've been working on these numbers, you know, for most of the morning, and then about 30 minutes before I got on this teleconference here, got a message from one of my analysts in the office, and now it looks like the death toll numbers went from 10,700 to 13,007, 13,007. So just in the last hour, the numbers have jumped up quite a bit. Gosh, that's like a 30% increase just in the last hour from what it was this morning. Good news is that coronavirus, the numbers have kind of flatlined out in other countries like Germany, Italy, France, and Spain. So that's obviously a positive sign. I want to mention a chart that I have here in front of me. I think I described this before, but I want to kind of go into a little bit more in depth of this. So this stimulus package that was put into place is called CARES. The last time we had a situation like this was the end of 2007, all of 2008, and the beginning of 2009. So most people just call it the 2008. There was another stimulus package put into place, and it was put into place October of 2008, and it was for $800 billion. So put that into perspective, you know, that many years ago it was $800 billion. Today it's $2.2 trillion. When that package was put into place in October of 2008, the market didn't hit the bottom until March 9th of 2009, 6 months later. And in that 6 month span, this $800 billion got put into, let's call it the economy, for various things to kind of jumpstart America again. And that's great. You see how the stimulus package got announced 2 weeks ago and how the market's kind of shown a little bit of a rally here over the last week and a half from this. But when that stimulus package was put in place in October of 2008, there was six different times that the stock market had a little rally, a little bump up of 9% or better. One of them was 9%, one was 12%, one was 9%, one was 18, one was 19, one was 11. Let me just pick on the last three. The last three was 18%. The stock market went up 6 days in a row, totaling 18%. The next one was 5 days in a row. The stock market went up 5 days in a row, totaling 19%, you know, positive growth, gains back in the market. The last one was 5 days in a row, the market went up, gaining 11%. I reference this because even though there were six different time frames where there was 9% or better rate of return growth, you know, over a handful of days, the market still didn't hit its bottom until 6 months later from after that stimulus package put into place. So that's a good relevancy to where we're at right now, just talking about how this big package got put in place is going to help. But, you know, the bottom is yet to be seen, and the bottom is going to take a while to probably get there. We're going to have some little rallies like what we've had in the last week and a half make us feel good, but there's going to be some other things that kind of cause it to go down. So I just want to kind of reference that there a little bit. Unemployment numbers as of last Friday is at 4.4%. In March, it was at 3.5. That's a pretty sizable increase just from 1 month to from the end of March to basically Friday, April 3rd. That's a large increase. The latest weekly report showed that 6.6 million Americans filed unemployment claims, and that doubles the previous record, which was set the previous week. That's how unprecedented the unemployment numbers. I said it last week in the teleconference. The economy was like a light switch, literally, because the government has told everybody to stay home, not work, don't go out unless you're essential, keep 6 feet apart, try not to go anywhere else. America just turned off like a light switch, and it's going to turn back on with a dimmer, very, very slow. Our concern here at Affinity is that the coronavirus is going to have like maybe a rebound effect where it goes away. The government kind of reports that it goes away, but then maybe it comes back. And if it does come back, it's just because it never completely went away. Maybe very few people had it at that point, but then, you know, it still spread. It was a virus and it still went back out and spread it all over again. You know, we're afraid that that can happen. If that happens, that can have, again, more negative impact on the stock market as well as the economy. All right, let me share some highlights here. Highlights, and let's call it quotes from various sources. T. Rowe Price is an excellent source. They say that the virus effects will last until mid-May to early June. Some industries will be forever changed due to this virus, and they were kind of using the cruise industry for going on cruises as an example. And then T. Rowe Price does not see an inflation spike, so they don't necessarily see inflation jumping up. Part of this is kind of reading between the lines and listening to other analysts and economists talk, is that we're going to probably see some consolidation going on out there. Smaller companies are going to struggle financially because of all of this. And the big companies, because they're big and they got deeper pockets, they're going to take advantage of the situation and they're going to buy up some smaller companies. We had a discussion this morning in our investment committee that, you know, use the airlines as a great example. You know, small airlines like Spirit may end up getting bought up by Delta or American or Southwest Airlines. So we're going to see some consolidation here. It's probably some small companies. PEMCO is known as the bond superstore of the world. They're the experts on bonds out there. Here's what they say. We expect the global economy to transition from intense near-term pain during this virus suppression phase to gradual healing over the next 6 to 12 months. Restrictions on economic activity will likely be lifted only gradually and at different speeds for different sectors and regions. Also, repairing the supply chain and overcoming logistical and transport bottlenecks will take some time. As a consequence, following the nosedive in economic activity that is currently underway, we are expecting the bottom process to last a few months after the virus is under control. So before output and demand can ramp back up closer to more normal levels eventually, this will be helped by fiscal and monetary support. So, you know, they're also saying that the bottom is going to be flatlined for a while. We're saying this is going to look like a W, where it's going to have go down, go up, go down, go up. But the down, up is like the bottom side of the W, and it's not going to go like all the way back up, all the way back down, all the way back up, all the way back. So not seeing like long versions of a W. We're seeing short versions of a W, but down, up for a while. And so some people want to call that a U, where it goes down, stays down before it comes back up. We think it's going to look like multiple versions of a W. Multiple analysts are believing that this coronavirus is going to cause a global recession, so it's not just in the U.S. It's going to be in other major countries as well. Goldman Sachs predicts that the U.S. economy will shrink at an annual rate of 34% in the next 3 months. And that's kind of thanks, if you can say it that way, thanks to the deliberate effort to slow down this virus by the government by forcing people to stay home. So to force people to stay home to get rid of this virus is going to drastically shrink the economy here by 34%, one third. That is huge. U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams said, "This is going to be the hardest and saddest week of most Americans' lives," he said, quite frankly. He also goes on to say that the next 2 weeks will be our Pearl Harbor moment. I thought that was very powerful things to say. Trump goes on to say, I think this is on Sunday, he said this, "The U.S. will reach a horrific point in terms of death. but it will be to a point where things will start changing for the better. So it's going to get worse, and then once it gets worse, it's going to start getting better. So obviously once it peaks, things will start to go down, things will get better for a while. Me personally, they started off with this 30-day lockdown, and it didn't take long for them to go to 45 days. I think it's very likely that they can, you know, expand that out and go maybe 60 days, maybe even 90 days, just to make sure that not only the numbers going down, but the numbers go down to a point that it like literally goes away before they kind of let us back out of the house and kind of go back into society. BlackRock is the largest money manager in the entire world. Their analysts are saying this past week's historic U.S. policy's actions initially helped stabilize the markets. We believe they are paving the road for an eventual and strong economic and market rebound. Once we better understand the scale and impact of this outbreak, markets, in our view, will ultimately settle down if three conditions are met. Basically, number one is the visibility that the coronavirus has peaked and starting to go down. Number two, the deployment of credible and coordinated policy packages, which is basically meaning from the stimulus package. And then number three, the confidence that the financial markets are functioning properly. You know, those three things happen. And to me, that's a lot of big words and a lot of big jargon for basically saying that's when we think things will get better, if those three things are met. All right, opportunities. For all those who are unemployed, it's being suggested that everybody file for their unemployment electronically. Don't go in, it just takes too long. I think I understood right as well is that they're kind of waiving the grace period to be unemployment. They're also waiving the usual request where you have to be out actively seeking a new job, because they just know how in this odd situation right now, there's not employers out there hiring people. So they're not going to require you to be out there door knocking, looking and passing out your resumes to collect unemployment. So that's obviously a good thing. Anybody on this phone that's a business owner, or if you know somebody who's a business owner who has fewer than 500 employees, there's all kinds of things in that stimulus package to benefit small employers. I am considered a small employer. I am already researching that. We already have our application in to be able to utilize those funds so I can continue to keep our business going. And I just want to recommend any business owner that's out there, do your research. I've been part of several webinars that are out there on this subject matter. I've talked with my local bank, Bank of America. They're obviously filing paperwork for this, as well as I talked with my CPA, and I recommend that you guys do the same thing if you are a small business owner. Some other opportunities, Roth conversions. This is a must. You gotta take advantage of this. So I do practice what I preach. My money is in the same models that all of you guys are in, and right now my money is sitting 100% bonds, just like you guys are. So I treat my money and I do things exactly the same way that we preach to our clients. I this morning signed a form to do a Roth conversion for $600,000 of my money. And I don't want to pay tax on $600,000 in 1 year. That is a tremendous amount of tax, but I'm doing it because I'm going to put extra money into my Roth IRA, and it's going to go from $600,000 of an IRA bond account to a Roth IRA bond account. So it's really not going to be any difference in tax if I do it now versus later in the year. It's the same tax, it's $600,000, but the difference is I have more money now in my Roth IRA to sit there and be ready to go in a tax-free manner. So when the markets do come back up and we do get back in the market and we start making more money, I'm going to have more money being made in my Roth IRA growing tax-free. I can withdraw it tax-free. There's no RMD rules on Roth IRAs. Tax-free means tax never. It'll go to my beneficiaries tax-free when I'm gone. So right now is an outstanding time to do Roth conversions. And as you know, for most of you who are existing clients, we usually do our Roth conversions for folks at the end of the year because we want to make sure that what your year was like financially. What was your 2020 like? And what was your income up or down? Do we want to do a bigger or smaller conversion because of what happened this year income-wise for you? We're recommending you do it now just because of taking advantage of market opportunities here. IRA transfers from an annuity. Again, you've heard me say these couple things before. If you have an annuity, and specifically if it's an IRA annuity, and we can transfer some money out, most annuities are approximately 10%. We can transfer some of that money out of your annuity, specifically more indexed annuities, over to your brokerage accounts. The advantage there is you're taking money from an annuity that doesn't have the ability to lose money in the stock market, so it's not in a down position, to take more money to infuse it into your brokerage account, to give more money in that brokerage account. So when we're ready to get out the bonds and go into some stocks, we're going to take advantage of that and have more money with more horsepower growing for you in the brokerage account. So again, if you want to transfer some money from an annuity to a brokerage account, we recommend index annuities to brokerage accounts. We recommend IRAs, doing it that way. So if you go from IRA annuity to IRA brokerage account, there's no taxes. If we do it less than that 10% amount, there's no penalties and there's no cost in that, doing that transfer. It's just, it's a way to transfer money from one of your accounts to the other without any negative consequences, but get more money in a position for you to do more Roth conversions or just to have more in brokerage in general to grow when the market starts to go back up. For you on the phone that is over the age of 72 and you have required minimum distribution, the RMDs, if you are set up on automatic RMDs, where that means your account will pay it out to you automatically every year, sometimes it's once a year, sometimes it's quarterly, sometimes it's monthly, depending on how you have it set up, RMDs have been waived for this year, part of that stimulus package. That's been waived. So if you don't need that money to spend, and you don't want to take that withdrawal, and you don't want to pay that tax, you need to let us know, or that automatic RMD will continue to stay automatic and to continue to send it out to you. We don't want it to go to you if you don't want that money. Okay. Now, flip side of it is, since there's no RMDs for this year, you could still take that money out and do a Roth conversion with it. That's another great way to utilize that, those dollars. I did not mention it earlier, but I just want to come back to this. The 59 and a half rules, the penalty, if you are under the age of 59 and a half, the penalty has been waived. If you take money out of your retirement account, like an IRA or 401k, you'll have to pay taxes on it, of course. But they're waiving the extra 10% penalty due to this whole coronavirus and stimulus package. So if you find yourself in some financial struggles, you've lost your job, unemployment's maybe not enough, and you need to dip into your retirement accounts, just know you can dip into them and you'll pay some taxes, but at least you'll be doing it without an added penalty on top of that. So that's been waived as well. More opportunities. Cycle trading, we've talked about this before. I'm going to reference this again because I know we have some new people on the phone. I don't know what else to call it. I don't know this is a technical term. I'm just calling it cycle trading because I'm trying to use terms that I think is generic and universal that a lot of folks can understand. If I said day trading, I think a lot of you know what that means. We're going to buy, sell on a daily basis, maybe even several times a day. Cycle trading is where we're going to look at this W and we can clearly identify several points in this W. Like the height of the W was 29,500 on the Dow back in on February 19th. The bottom of the W was 18,500. Now it's up to 23,000. So the bottom went to 18. Now we're kind of hitting like the next level up. We're hitting the second wave up here on this W. So if the market continues to inch its way up, that's wonderful. But we expect it to maybe go back down again, like the next wave, the next leg of that W, when maybe the death toll numbers become a reality and the death toll numbers start to jump. That might cause more panic and anxiety from folks, and that'll just cause the market to go down more. And if that's the case and we can see the market drop again, we're going to take that opportunity to take fee-based accounts only, fee-based brokerage accounts only. Right now we're looking at the account has to be a minimum of 25 to 50,000. We haven't quite narrowed down that number, so it has to be at least 25 to 50,000 or greater in that account. And we're only going to do IRAs and Roth IRAs. So that's my stipulations, fee-based accounts, 25 to 50,000 in a minimum amount, IRAs or Roth IRAs only. Any other type of account, we're not going to do this with. So everybody's in bonds, but we're going to take those accounts that I just mentioned and maybe buy 50% of the stocks because the market went back down. We had another dip. We're going to take advantage of buying in low. Now, we don't want to be risky or a maverick type of a personality with your money here. If we take 50% and we buy into stocks, in essence, you could be a 50-50 stock bond ratio. On a scale of 1 to 5 for us, that's somewhere between our number 2 and our number 3 model. So midway to slightly less than midway in risk. So put that 50% in stock and we hit another peak before it goes back down again. Maybe take that 50% of stock out and go back into the 100% bonds where we were. Maybe do that a couple times. I have no idea. We don't know. I can't promise a plan for that because we literally is taking this on a day-by-day basis and what the market is doing and what is the information driving what the market is doing will dictate what we do there. So I call that cycle trading. Now, obviously, we have lots of people praising us for getting them out of the market and these sort of things, but I want to throw out a term while I have a lot of folks here on the phone that most people have not heard of, and it's called setting the market. And this is usually done by big money players. And we're a large money manager as well, and we can do this with investments, and so we have to be careful of this. So take an investment, ABC investment, and we want to buy into ABC Investment with a whole lot of clients' money all at once. If we buy so much of that investment of ABC, and that investment, if the amount of money that we're buying exceeds like a 30-day trading average on that one investment, then it's going to get kicked out. Those systems are put in place by the stock market, by the New York Stock Exchange, to prevent large money players to manipulate the market. So when we do things like this, we have to be sensitive to the size of investments that are out there, what their trading volume is, the amount of money that we're working with, how we allocate your portfolio, all this diversification, so that not only can do the right thing for you risk-wise, but return-wise as well, but we also have to look at all kinds of other parameters that are out there that's not between you and us, but it's parameters with the New York Stock Exchange. So we have to be careful that we don't exceed that, and we are in a position right now, we know what investments we want. When we're ready to flip the switch, hit some buttons on the keyboard, and we want to take half the bonds and go into stocks, we know exactly what we're going to do, and we're going to know how to do it. We're going to know which investments and how much is going into each investment. We're going to have that. So we're just waiting for the opportunity and just waiting for the market to cooperate for us to take advantage of that. Other opportunities. Guys, just referrals. For those of you who've known me and known me for a long time, know a lot of us here in our office, we don't really ask for referrals. We get a lot of referrals, we just don't ask for them. I'm asking for them. I'm going out of my way to ask for them. I'm trying to say this in a very unselfish way and as humble as I possibly can. I know we're really good. I know we do things that other advisors aren't doing. We hear stories from existing clients telling us stories about their friends. We have new people, referrals that are coming to us right now, and we hear their stories. Tom was telling us a story here in our office about a client that's been with us for a little while, and she was in the office a couple weeks ago, in our office before the whole shutdown thing happened, but it was kind of after the coronavirus kind of hit the market, and she's literally in the conference room crying to Tom because she remembers one of the previous market corrections that we had that her financial advisor wouldn't even return her phone call for 4 weeks, and she was trying to get her money out of the market, and he wouldn't even return her phone call. And by the time he returned the phone call, he basically told her, yeah, we're not doing anything, we're going to hold on. And, oh, well, by now, your account's kind of too small to mess with anyways. And she was crying to us because we're actually doing what people expect us to do as a financial advisor, as professional money managers, that we're not going to hold your hand forever and write everything down and write everything up. We want to be prudent. We want to be tactful. We want to make strategic and calculated moves, and sometimes those are bigger moves and sometimes they're smaller moves. But we hear all kinds of stories where advisors are not even picking up the phone and calling clients. Sometimes when a client calls the advisor, all they're hearing is from the administrative person, we're telling our clients we're not making any changes. Even if they can get to the financial advisor, the advisor is saying, nope, we're not making any changes, we're going to hold on, we're going to ride this thing out. That's not what people want to hear. If this market cycle goes 6, 8, 10 months, if the whole coronavirus and the lockdown and the social distancing stuff, if that's not stressful enough, how about having your money being a yo-yo and dropping so much in such a very fast period? That's a ton of stress for people too. So I'm trying to say this as humbly as I can and as unselfish as I can. Please go tell your friends, tell your family, tell your coworkers about us, because we want to help them. We want to help you help them in times like this, because this isn't over. This is far from over. And and none of us thinks we've seen the bottom yet. And so let's help people while we can. So I just humbly ask you to please go tell your friends about us. Okay, a couple of reminders, and I'm almost done. After these teleconferences and the Monday emails and the teleconferences on Wednesdays, we get kind of inundated with a lot of phone calls. I just ask you, please, if you have a question, or you want to talk about Roth conversions, you want to take money out of your annuity, move it to your brokerage account, things like this, do me a favor, send us an email. Use any of our emails here in the office, emails that you've used before. Just send us an email. We will put you like in a queue, and all of us in the office will be working on calling everybody back as quickly as we can. And we're calling everybody back within 24 hours. It's just that's hard if we're all on the phone that we can't take the inbound calls coming in. And we just really don't want to have you go into voicemail. So we just ask, send us an email. Hey, Mark, this is so-and-so, and this is my question. This is what I want to talk about. Can you call me back? Or, yes, I want to do Roth conversions. Can you call me so we can talk about it? Absolutely. Just shoot us an email if you would, please. Also, reminder, if you want to get back in the stock market and you want to go back in at like a higher risk level than what you were previous, so maybe you were in models 2s and 3s before with your previous mix, but you want to get back in down the road as 3s and 4s instead of 2s and 3s, just something like that, you need to let us know. You want to do Roth conversions, let us know. You want to transfer money from an annuity to a brokerage account, again, let us know. Let us know these things. You want, if you have automatic RMDs turned on so it comes out automatically every year and you want to turn it off, gotta let us know. All right, guys, I think I've gone through my list. It looks like I've been talking for right at about 40 minutes. Again, thank you so much, everybody, for taking time to listen to this call. I hope this is informational that you like. I hope this is in layman's terms that makes sense. A lot of stuff, but hopefully I'm giving it to you in bite-sized pieces that is acceptable. I'm going to open up for Q&A. So here's what it is. I have the entire phone system in mute mode. So if you want to unmute to ask a question, all you need to do is hit *7 on your phone. I just ask you, as soon as you hit *7 and you are unmuted, we can hear all your background noise. So just be aware of your background noise because we're all going to be hearing your questions. Everybody wants to hear the answers. So anybody has a question, please hit *7 and go ahead and shout out the question. We're going to start working through some of the Q&A that we have here today. Hello, can you hear me? Yep, okay.
Go ahead.
Ladies first, go ahead.
Hi, it's Mary Kat Rochevitz. How are you?
Good, hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, you were talking about the Roth IRAs. I am trying to clarify. I understand you said you could take money out of an IRA annuity and convert it to a Roth, but what about just a regular IRA? Taking money out of that, converting it to a Roth, not paying the penalty, and having the 3 years to pay the taxes. Do you know anything about that?
Oh, I do. And that's very wishful thinking. And I love that you're thinking outside the box, but no. All right, so part of the coronavirus says, hey, if you take a withdrawal under the age of 15 and a half to waive the 10% penalty, it needs to be for coronavirus, kind of some kind of a hardship-related thing. If you take a withdrawal and the taxes that you pay, even though you avoid the penalty, there's going to be taxes, you can spread that tax over 3 years. That's great. But that's not a Roth conversion because a Roth conversion isn't coronavirus hardship related. Now, I'm saying this in a very generic way that these are gray areas. We have CPAs that are telling us two different sides of it, and it's kind of up to you and your CPA how things are interpreted. There are ways to kind of work around that. I'm going to tell you, we have not seen, honestly, haven't seen a legit way to do a Roth conversion and spread the tax over 3 years. We can't find a way to make a gray area work for that at all. What we have seen is potentially a way to do a Roth conversion, do the tax withholding from that without the 10% penalty. We've seen situations where that might happen. But nope, not spreading the tax over 3 years. That's a good question. Yep, you're welcome. Next question.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mark.
Just ask the question. Don't need to say Mark. Go ahead.
When based on the indexes, what is your projected date that you're going to get us back into the market? Right now, we're roughly 10%. Higher than we were, and then to if you calculate my account's about 2.5% lower since you got us into bond, so I'm about 13% below where the indexes are now.
Without giving me your last name, what's your first name?
Scott.
All right, Scott. Common question we get from folks is, you know, what's the plan? I mentioned it earlier. We don't have a plan. We don't know when this is going to be. I don't have a target. I don't have a target date. I don't even have a target amount what the market's going to be. This is literally a day-by-day basis, seeing what the market's doing. Pretty much every analyst and economist we get data from says we got 6 to 10 months solid of this. We have multiple ups and downs we're going to get, and we haven't even seen the bottom yet. We're hearing all of this very consistently. So again, we're going to take this day by day, and as more stuff comes out, it's going to cause the market to drop. More stuff comes out, causes the market to go up. More stuff comes out, causes the market to go down. We're going to just take that on day by day. I can't tell you that today the market's at 23,000 on the Dow, and we're going to buy in at 20. We're going to buy in at 19. We're going to buy in at 18. I can't tell you that until we get there, see where the market's at, how fast did it drop to that point, and what caused that drop. Give an example, in 2007, we got all of our clients out of the market in December of 07, and the market started to go down October of 07. But in 2 months, when we finally got out, 2 months, 8 weeks later, the market had only dropped about 10%. Here in this case, we got out 12 days, 12 business days from the height of the market to when we got out 12 business days later, and the market had already dropped substantial at that point. It already had dropped, I want to say, like 18% in 3 weeks, where it ended up ultimately dropping down to 35%. So right now, we're just in a little short-term rally centered around the optimism of the stimulus package, but we're expecting another downturn to come and could come as quickly as sometime at the end of this week into next week, just depending on when the death numbers actually become a reality. So Scott, I'm sorry I don't have a specific answer that you would like to hear. I would love to give you that information. I just don't have it. I just want to be honest to say, strictly day by day, we are going to reevaluate this and we're going to get in when we're ready. And having said that, if you want to override us because it is your money and say, Mark, I want to get in right now, we're going to talk to you about it, make sure you understand pros and cons, and we'll obviously execute whatever your request is. But I just don't have a date in mind yet until more things happen. So sorry I can't be, I'm sorry I'm a little bit vague with that, but I'm just being honest.
Okay, so if you were to kind of speculate, this seems like there's a lot of speculation here, where on the W do we fall right now? Are we on like the upswing of the first W or first part of the W? I mean,
yeah, think of it, yeah.
Where are we on that chart?
Well, we're on the first leg up. We already had the big down. We're on the first leg up, and we're expecting to have a second leg down. And when we have a second leg down is where we're going to look for that opportunity.
Okay. So that's when we're hoping to take half of our securities and
half of IRAs and half IRAs and Roth IRAs out of bonds go into stocks. And okay. And we don't know if we're going to be that 50% in stocks. We don't know if we're going to be in there for 2-3 days, 2-3 weeks. We don't know that. And obviously until that time comes and we see what goes on to evaluate when to get out. And if we make 3-8% in short little spurts like that, well, great. That's what we're looking to do. We're not trying to swing for home runs. We just want to do this prudently, look at this as an opportunity to make money and not just hold on, ride it out the entire way down, the entire way back up either. So we want to be smart about what we do here. So just, it's wait and see. Sorry, Scott, I can't be more specific.
I think I'll probably give it that.
All right, next question, please.
Hey, Mark.
Go ahead.
Lynn and I wanted you to know that we had a difficult time understanding you until you came to the Star 7 area, and now we can understand you. And we could understand the guys with the questions, but in most of your spiel, we couldn't hardly understand you.
I'm sorry about that. Did you have a question?
No, I just wanted to make that comment.
All right, thank you for that. Do we have any other questions?
Hi, this is Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie. It just requires a phone call. We have to have people call us to let us know what they want to do. See, we're fiduciaries. So that means we have discretion over the accounts to do what we think is in the best interest of the client and the account. And whatever we do doesn't impact our compensation. So buying, selling, and buying, selling doesn't make us money. What makes us money is managing the account and obviously making it grow. So we have to have a system, Jeannie, in some way where we are treating all clients equally and consistent. So that nobody's being left behind, nobody's being missed, and that sort of stuff. Is there going to be a few one-offs? Probably. One-offs can cause problems. People who request one-offs can typically have things not work out exactly the way they had hoped, but we're certainly willing to take that phone call and certainly do our best to honor that request for sure. It's your money. We always want to honor your request. I'm just trying to tell you, you know, managing hundreds of millions of dollars, and we have this account here, this account there, that's wanting to be treated differently than everybody else. It requires us to go do that on a different timetable, do it after, do it before all the other trades and that kind of stuff. So we kind of have to work through that stuff. It can be done. I'm telling you, it can be done, but it just needs to be a phone call to communicate that with us.
Okay, so if my model was 2 or 3 or 4, that would not make a difference?
No, because okay. if we try to work on a few things with this, what we're referring to as cycle trading, and again, that's an if. We can't guarantee what the market's going to do and how fast it's going to move for us to take advantage of it. So if we can do it, which we're hopeful to do so, we're only using half the accounts to go to stock. And at the end of the day, like I mentioned earlier, this is going to be somewhere between a Model 2 and a Model 3 for folks. So we're still being on the conservative side, even by taking half and going to stocks, because it's going to remain 50-50 at that point.
Okay.
So we're just saying that in the long run, after we kind of do this cycle trading, after the coronavirus is over and we're finally starting on, let's say, the very beginning of the next bull market cycle, and we're going to get you back into your full-blown models that you want to be in for your long-term diversification. If you want to change that risk level from what you had previously during the last growth spurt we had, well, you just need to let us know. A lot of people aren't going to change their risk tolerance, you know, from that, but we're just telling people if they want to, just let us know. You're welcome, Jeannie. Next question.
Mark, you had mentioned taking money out of an annuity that was an IRA and putting it into a Roth conversion or a Roth IRA. What about money that might be in a non-qualified annuity?
So what was your first name?
Gerald.
All right, Gerald. When you take money out of a non-qualified annuity, it's going to be taxable. And you cannot take non-qualified money and to put it into a Roth IRA unless you have a job and you have earned income to count towards a Roth contribution. So when I talked earlier about this, I'm talking about conversions, not contributions. And for a conversion to happen, there's no income limits, there's no job limits, there's no dollar restrictions. There's basically no rules on a Roth conversion. It's just that it needs to come out of an IRA. So when I mentioned the annuity, there's two facets to that. If you have an IRA annuity and you want to move some of that IRA annuity money to an IRA brokerage account, number one, it's because I want more money in brokerage for more horsepower for when the market goes back up. And number two, when we do Roth conversions, we're doing Roth conversions from an IRA brokerage account to an IRA annuity. So non-qualified annuity money, there's only one way to get it into a Roth IRA. It's in the form of a contribution, and there's rules with that. So that would not be a good way to go. Non-qualified annuities are for safety and because you want tax deferral. That's the purpose for that. So we're just trying to take some advanced strategies for more qualified retirement accounts that can get away with this.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Gerald. Anybody else got anything for me?
Hey, Mark, this is Tim. How do we know when a cycle trade has occurred after the fact?
Good question. Yep, good question. What was your name again?
This is Tim.
All right, Tim, good question. All right, so here's the legal answer. You get your statements every month, whether email or through the mail. You'll get your statements every month, and you'll see when we did it. I don't like to do that. I don't like clients to have to wait until that monthly cycle's up for them to actually get their statement. So we'll probably do the same thing. If we do a cycle trade, we do a little buy-in. We're going to send out an email just like we did on April the 12th saying that we got out of the market. Here's why. This is what we did. And, you know, this is the logic behind it. Because the thought there, Tim, is when we did that on March 12th, you know, there's still a solid 2.5, almost 3 weeks until the end of the month before people even get statements. And if they're not looking at their account online, and they're just waiting to get their monthly statement, that's 2.5 to 3 weeks of stress that they're seeing the TV show them that they're losing money because that's what the TV says, but they're not looking at their account online and they're waiting to see that statement. Well, I might as well send out an email to give everybody a heads up, like a courtesy heads up that we did that, because I instantly relieve stress by doing that. So the same thing applies is you know, when we want to make a major change like this and we want to do a little bit of cycle trade and take 50% and go into stocks, we're going to send out an email. We're going to put some data behind it. We're going to try to make people understand this is why we did it. This is when we did it. This is the data that supported this. Again, if we just keep clients informed, they have less stress and anxiety. And that's the whole goal of all of these teleconferences and these emails, is to keep you informed. So our goal is to send out an email when we do that. Yes. Good question.
Great. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mark.
Mark, this is Brad. Can you hear me?
Yes. What was your name?
Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Regarding the cycle trading, if I do nothing, if I don't inform you I want to do it or don't want to do it, what's the default?
Well, the default is we're going to do it the way we want to do it, because we have discretion over accounts to manage it to do what's in your best interest. So no phone calls, no nothings means we're going to take care of it, and we're going to do as we've been talking about what we're going to do. And again, we don't know if we're going to do it, but when and if we do it, we'll do it. We'll send out an email and everybody will get treated the same. If you don't want that and you want to stay in bonds and you want to stay in bonds for, you know, like a forgiven time in the future, well, that's, you just need to let us know, and we're going to put a restriction on your account so that it gets skipped and we don't buy into those stocks. We're going to keep you in the bonds until you tell us otherwise. And we're happy to do that. Again, that's kind of at your request, and we're going to certainly honor your request. I always try to tell folks, guys, Fred, this is your money. This is all your guys' money. You ultimately have the final say-so, but we're telling you as your paid money manager that this is where you're a personal CFO here. This is what we want to do, and this is the reasons why. And I'm doing the same thing with my money that I'm doing with everybody's money. So you would
put all of our Roth and all of our IRA money into the cycle trading as when you saw fit, then everybody's okay.
Yep, and we would use 50% of that money, not 100% of that money. 50% of the IRAs, 50% of the Roth IRAs is what we would use.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. Good question. Anybody else? It's interesting. As I'm sitting here on hold waiting for the next question, I can just see our phone lines ringing. Already, folks are calling in. Again, we just want to remind everybody, if you can, shoot us an email. It's a whole lot easier for us to get to everybody as quickly as we can if we get the email request. But anybody else have any other questions? All right. We'll finish on this note. Guys, I want to say thank you so incredibly much for your trust in us, your faith in us. We take that extremely serious. We love what we do. We love that we're essential, and I love that I have a full staff in here wanting to be here for you guys throughout these crazy times. They're being here for you. They're being here for me. I love that. I wish you all absolutely the best of health, and your loved ones around you the best of health, and we're going to get through this together, emotionally, mentally, and financially, for sure. And we're going to minimize the pains and try to maximize opportunities where we can and do it smartly. So again, just thank you so much for taking time out of your day-to-day to listen to us. Wish you all happy health. You guys take care. Thanks for your time today. Bye-bye.